pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for joining us on, or thanks for staying with us, I should say, on this Wednesday morning. Hour number three now underway. Text line is how you get in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. I try to read all the text, unless you get a little graphic in nature, then I have to censor you. But I try not to do that as much as possible. But keep them coming, guys. We'll get to those in due course. Still to come on the program, Sean Ross with the Katie Britt campaign, also of SR Communications, our Wednesday regular. He'll be with us in about a half hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, very, very good to this show over the years, even back in my Huntsville days, was good to the show up there. But pleased to bring on State Senator Larry Stutz of Tuscumbia. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We just talked about over the break. You finally got a relatively, comparatively speaking, I suppose, easier election cycle. The last two have been pretty costly, pretty tough. You had Alpha working against you, but you unseat a juggernaut in that election before last, and then this last one, you had a well-known Franklin County candidate running against you, but now it's not quite as ambitious, it seems, that you kind of I will say taking it easy or taking it for granted, but certainly taking it easier, if you will.
Yeah, that's true. I've probably had the two toughest, or at least close to the two toughest races in the state for two cycles in a row. And so I'm not taking it for granted and would never take the position for granted, but I do hope to have a little less vigorous campaign this time.
Well, that's good to hear, and at least you can maybe focus on some other things that are more important. Let's kick it off here. So you got two things, I think. You spoke to the Shoals Republican Club over the weekend, and there were two takeaways, I am told, and I want to get you on to talk about. First off, we spent a lot of time on this, the taxes. The grocery tax. We still have a grocery tax in Alabama. I know that there are a lot of Democrats out there that are on the side of doing away with that grocery tax or replacing it or doing something with it. But in this day and age, the state of Alabama, one of the few states out there that has levies a tax on certain groceries. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I want us to eliminate some taxes. You know, we have record revenues in the state. States all around us are cutting taxes, phasing out state income tax. Two of our bordering states already don't have a state income tax. And when we look at being a business-friendly environment, you know, lowering taxes to me is more important than incentives. You know, the lowering taxes helps everybody. It helps the people that are working. So whether it's state income tax or whether it's a grocery tax, I mean, those are basically taxes that all people that work pay. And so I'm in favor of, and I don't know exactly how that's going to look, but I do know that we have record revenues in both budgets. And part of that is relative to all the federal money that we've received, but we've got more money than we've ever had. And so I think we need to let the people keep some of that. And I know there's talk about giving a one-time rebate of taxes back to the people. But the problem with that is, to me, there's a fundamental difference between the government giving you some money back. We're going to take your money and we're going to give you part of it back versus not taking it in the first place. And if you really believe in smaller government, if you really believe in shrinking government, you believe in cutting out things that aren't essential government services, the only way to do that is to stop the flow of money. And so I'm in favor of a fundamental tax change that means we quit taking less of your money.
Well, so Governor Ivey came out with a statement at the end of the fiscal year, and she essentially said, "Well, I'm open. I'm going to have a proposal for tax rebates, but I just think it is a step too far to say we're going to do permanent structural changes to the tax code, which to me, I don't know where that puts things, but does that impact this discussion? If the governor's not really for any kind of tax cuts, does that dissuade or does that make it harder to do, you think?
Oh, it certainly makes it harder to do because she could certainly veto, whatever we passed. And I said, I don't know, even within our caucus, I don't know what the sentiment is going to be about some fundamental changes in the tax structure, but said I know what surrounding states are doing, and again, I don't mean to be repetitive, but there's just a fundamental philosophical difference between taking your money and giving you part of it back versus not taking it in the first place. And if we have a budget surplus and all the people that are working for a living, you and I included, are seeing the impact of inflation in our daily lives, everything we buy has gone up significantly, not just gas, but groceries, every supply that you buy. In my office, all the supplies that we buy have gone up significantly in the last year. And, we have to tighten our belt, and the state should do the same thing.
That's a very novice observation on my part, but I'm curious to bounce this off of you, that a lot of the states, unanticipated revenue has come from that internet sales tax, that SSUT tax. And I kind of looking at it every year, it's way more than is projected. Did we lowball that when we first got that? And should that be adjusted the way they're calculating that? Because it just seems that is a big cash cow for the state, but we always anticipate it to be much less than it is. And obviously it ballooned a lot during COVID. Is there something to that I don't know if it was by design or not, but it's clear that it's not hitting the mark of what the projections say it is?
You're exactly right. I think COVID influenced that. A lot more people shop from home. A lot more people shopped online. I mean, that has become kind of mainstream. So more people are doing that than we anticipated that they would. But if you cut that tax and make it cheaper to shop online from a tax standpoint, then you're still hurting your local brick and mortar businesses in your hometown, in your small town, wherever you live. You're still hurting the mom and pop operations that are paying that same sales tax. So I don't know that we need to cut the rate on that tax simply because it was kind of a negotiated fair middle ground between what local sales tax is and what the SSUT would be. And it has generated more revenue, but I think that's primarily a function of the volume of shopping online that has been done. And again, we want that to be as fair as possible between brick and mortar businesses and ordering things online. So that rate is a comparable rate to what local sales taxes are. And so I don't want to upset that balance. But again, if we're collecting more tax revenue than we need, because maybe some taxes are overperforming what they projected to be, but the bottom line is we're collecting more revenue than we need, so we need to quit collecting some revenue. And while that's a grocery tax or income tax, but we need to find ways to let people keep more of their money and not take it and then give a little bit of it back to them and brag about we gave you a tax rebate. We need to stop collecting some of them.
Well, I guess my point on that would be this. Not so much that we need to cut the SSUT at all, but it does, having that having that additional revenue come in and the state always lowballing it, it seems, if you got that projection right, then that gives you wiggle room and on other places to cut taxes. That if we could get that right and get that, have a better understanding, and we're not sitting here at the end of the fiscal year saying, wow, we didn't see all this money coming in. But you know, there's a reason you want that number to be as accurate as possible. And if we do that, then we can have that a more honest discussion about where we can cut taxes, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree with that. We need to, you know, and that's the whole problem with trying to work with projections. And excuse me. And we need to have accurate projections, but we do know that every year it has outperformed what it was projected to be. So I agree with you completely. We need accurate projections, and then use those accurate projections to predict what we can and cannot do.
Joined by State Senator Larry Stutz here on the program. Very appreciative of his appearance on the show. Change topics here. This the talk has cooled off. When the Dobbs decision was handed down, there was, well, you know, does the state need to go back and revisit the Human Life Protection Act, also known as the abortion ban? You made a pretty, and I think a lot of your colleagues have this sentiment as well, that law needs to stay as it is, that we have the toughest, the strongest, if you will, abortion ban in the land. And you guys took all the incoming there when you passed it in 2019, in that it needs to stay as is. Is that kind of accurate, the way I'm portraying that?
I think so. That is certainly my opinion. I mean, we passed a very good bill, a very strong pro-life bill, and I'm completely for leaving it as it is. A lot of thought went into it. And, you know, quite honestly, when we passed it in 2019, I thought, and other people thought as well, that would likely be the law that would end up at the Supreme Court that might lead to turning Roe v. Wade back to the states, returning that decision back to the states, because that Alabama law, as you're well aware, attacked Roe v. Wade purely on constitutional grounds, primarily on the 10th Amendment, that it never should have been decided on the federal level. It should have been left up to the states from the beginning. And that Roe v. Even people that are pro-abortion, some of them understood that Roe v. Wade was probably wrongly decided, that it should have been a state issue from the beginning. And, you know, and our bill, you might say, attacked Roe v. Wade through the front door, not nibbling around the edges, but we simply said, you know, this is a constitutional issue that should be left up to the states. And then based on the 14th Amendment, the personhood issue, it's we attacked Roe v. Wade with that law purely on constitutional grounds. And I think it was a good bill when I helped draft it, and I think it was a good bill when I voted for it, and I still feel that way.
Well, and you know, that talk's really cooled off, that right after the decision, maybe we would look at it, I don't know, it's a possibility, but it seems like your colleagues, all that I've talked to in the Senate, haven't heard many from the, you know, a few have spoken out about it from the lower chamber, but I think Senator Elliott down here and some others have said, no way, we're not touching this, and that seems to be the direction we're going to go, that this is done, it's a done deal. And, I mean, I guess you would probably be surprised if it came from the Republican caucus, any changes to that law.
I would. And, you know, and the part of the issue of it cooling off is there was so much talk, excuse me, in the media about, well, it's going to make it where doctors can't manage miscarriages and where doctors can't manage ectopic pregnancies and so forth. And that's absolutely not true. And there was, you know, people saying this is taking away a constitutional right. No, it's simply the court decision simply returned it to the states and where it should have been from the very beginning. And, you know, now the talk has died down because people have realized that this was not a radical court decision. It was simply a correct court decision of saying this is a state's issue and it should be returned to the states. And in our state, we're strongly on record as being a pro-life state, and we passed a good bill in 2019, and I think it needs to stay exactly like it is.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very nice to come on, and I'm always glad to get you on, and let's talk again soon.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. I always enjoy being on, and appreciate your thoughtful questions and your dialogue.
Thanks for that. State Senator Larry Stutz there with us. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Ooh, Montgomery.
Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.